Before today's episode starts, just a quick one from us. If you're currently listening on Apple and Spotify,
and you enjoy listening to Strike It Big, consider leaving a five-star review, along with what you thought of the pod.
As the more reviews we get, the more the podcast grows, and the bigger and better the guests get.
Thanks in advance. Bring on the pod. Today's guest has worked as a special investigator for Homeland Security, interviewed thousands of girls on his popular podcast, Fresh and Fit, and could be deemed as a professional misogynist. It is, of course, Myron Gaines.
What I tell guys, you got to adapt to the new normal. And the new normal is a lot of girls are hoes. A lot of girls don't deserve a relationship. A lot of girls don't deserve marriage. Girls will sit there and waste your time if you let them. Opening up to your girl is probably one of the biggest mistakes that mainstream media tells men to do, because what ends up happening is it might turn her off. She might say, oh, I don't know how to react to this.
So what's the point in having a partner?
Making sandwiches and sex. When I see a girl that's past her prime, that can't lock down a guy, or crying on TikTok because she decided to be a hoe in her 20s. I just laugh. I'm like, you f***ed up. You should have consolidated and found a guy when your value was at its highest. You are going to get married. You need to have had sex with 50 girls.
My girlfriend, I really don't think she would respect me if I had slept with 50 girls.
She would respect you more.
I disagree.
That's adorable. What's going to happen is you're going to get finessed. She's going to be a whore anyway.
Oh, that's not true. It's okay, girl. He's out there manifesting. Like, oh my God, does that mean I got to wear a ball chain and cook for you?
Oh my God, this is a controversial.
Shut the f*** up. You're just a loser. That's what it really comes down to.
Why have you stolen my outfit today?
Well, I wasn't going to start like that. I was
going
to start...
No, I'm going straight into it. I'm offended, mate.
Well, it's funny that you say that. So do we want to sort of tell the fake story, or do we want to tell the real story?
I want to know why you both have to roll your cuffs up just to go, so look at me. So let's have this out. I've got a Burberry shirt.
Yep. So let's have this out. So I actually saw Hamza wearing it on a podcast, actually, funny enough, and I thought, yeah, that's sick. 2 days later, I was in
Because we
Flanders.
Like Hamza, don't we?
Yeah, although, yeah.
He obviously doesn't like us.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he does.
Anyway, I saw it. I thought, yeah, that's cool. I'll grab that. But if I don't roll the sleeves up, it doesn't actually fit me. It's a little bit long. So I roll them up
because you're only small.
And after doing that, Curtis has gone, oh, that shirt's sick. And he's gone and bought two of them, exactly the same as me, and rolls the cuffs up just like me, though he doesn't need to.
I got the better colour.
I did want the blue one.
Nice and blue.
But I did want the blue
sleeves
one.
Look a bit short on you, son.
Well, I can pull them down a little bit if
until they go up again.
Got to show the watch off.
If there's one thing I know, it's never trust a guy that wears his Burberry shirt like that.
Well, I learned it from you. So what does that say? Do we want to talk about where you just went?
Well, it was quite amazing, actually. I just walked up to Starbucks, and I had a guy recognize me on the way to Starbucks. Really nice chap. We had a nice chat with him. Talked about his business that he'd started just after he started watching my videos about 2.5 years ago, doing very well.
So you inspired him. I said it was crazy how you can come to a completely different city and then run into people that have watched you.
So humbling. It's unreal. And it is so nice to hear his story. And then we're getting a Starbucks, obviously, because that's why we went there. And while we're in the queue, another guy walked up to me, and he said that he'd been watching me for years as well. And thank you for all the help I'd given him. It's just humbling, isn't it? You can come to a completely different country and people recognize you.
Yeah, and building on that, if this is actually the first time you guys have seen us, we're building out the podcast channel. And obviously, I know it's Stephen Bartlett's saying, but the bigger the podcast gets, the bigger the guests get. Yeah. So if you could subscribe to the channel, that would be brilliant. Anyway, let's move on to today's guest. Today's guest has worked as a special investigator for Homeland Security, interviewed thousands of girls on his popular podcast, Fresh and Fit, and could be deemed as a professional misogynist. It is, of course, Myron Gaines.
Woohoo!
Welcome to the podcast, bro. Great to have you.
How are you doing?
Good to see you.
How are you guys doing?
Good, yeah, very well.
Really,
thank
really
you, bro.
Good. It's taken a little bit getting together, isn't it, this one? So
let's start off with a hard one. Why should people listen to you?
Oh.
Well, if they want to know the truth on how the world really works when it comes to making money, getting girls, being attractive in general, check us out at Fresh and Fit, man.
I think they're going to want to know all of those things.
Probably. I'm an open book. Let's go.
What are some of the ideologies that you have that really trigger people?
Man, where do I start? Men and women aren't equal. Men have to be superior to women to be attractive. Feminism is a lie. You can't be fat. There's two genders. Man, where do we go? There's a million.
Let's unpack the first one. So sure. Men and women aren't equal.
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Well, I mean, we're inherently different. So by us being different, the way we view the world, our physicality, there's just so many different gender differences. And we have this crazy concept that men and women are the same. And is just not the case. And I mean, we're better together than we are apart. And I think our differences make us more, how do I say this? Our differences is what makes us special and work together.
So do you believe in equality of opportunity rather than like equal outcome?
Yeah, equality of opportunity is the only way to go. You know, equality of outcome is ridiculous. It doesn't work. Sounds great on paper, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah, because men and women choose different things, don't they, when they're given the right to do so.
Absolutely. You know, and they've seen this in, you know, Scandinavian countries. You know, Jordan Peterson talks about this, shout out to him, that even in the most egalitarian of societies, women still pick certain types of careers. And these careers a lot of times tend to be more social because women tend to be more interested in things, people, versus men tend to be more interested in things. So when you give the genders more freedom, and it's actually funny how they almost go back to their traditional wants and or their, I guess you can say, genetic hardwiring.
So most women obviously don't like your views. Why do you think that is?
Well, because I tell the unflattering truths about what it takes to be attractive as a man to a woman. And what happens is when you tell guys what it really takes to be attractive, it makes women look bad sometimes. It reveals the not so nice things about female nature. And women tend to want to keep these things, you know, close to the chest so that you don't necessarily have an advantage as a man. Because I think a woman's biggest strength a lot of times when it comes to dating and relationships is you not understanding your value as a man.
So would you say they can't handle the truth?
They definitely can't, man. And if you guys don't believe me, look at the podcast, man. I tell them the truth all the time. Like, we'll pull up our delusion calculator. We'll put in, you know, how old the guy is and how tall they want to be, how much money he makes a year. It'll be less than 1% because all women are looking pretty much for the same guy. And they'll be like, oh, he's out there, or I'm going to manifest, or some other nonsense. So yeah, they can't handle the truth. And I think a big part of that is because I could just say, be honest here. Yep. Just keep it 1,000 with y'all. Yep. We lie to women, man. We lie to them. We don't tell them.
Why do we do that?
Because they can't handle the truth, man. I mean, like, if a woman's fat, rude, obnoxious, we tell her, you go, girl, love your curves, and, you know, you deserve the best, and he's out there waiting for you.
I've seen the comments on TikTok with these girls. It's just wild. Thousands of positive ones.
Yeah. But it's mainly from other girls. And are they actually lying to each other, you know?
They do. And you know what's funny? It's actually very interesting. And I'll pause the show anytime this happens. I'll tell the girl, like, an unflattering truth or something that, like, hurts their feelings, right? Like, this man that you're looking for probably isn't looking for you. All the girls on the pod will be like, oh, that's not true. It's okay, girl. He's out there manifested, blah, blah, blah. And they give each other terrible advice. I've always said that single girls perpetually keep each other single because they don't tell each other the truth about what it takes to actually be attractive and, most importantly, retain a man. Most girls are good at attaining a man, but they suck at retaining a man for a long-term relationship.
And what do you think the reasons behind that are? Why can they not retain a man in the modern age?
Well, we live in a world where we don't really hold women accountable for their poor decisions. We tell them it's okay for them to be hoes, for them to be fat, for them to be obnoxious, for them to be rude, for them to be unfeminine, for them to be masculine, competitive, you know, all these just unattractive traits. And we don't tell them what it really takes for them to be attractive because there's no negative consequences for their poor behavior. Versus a man, right? If you're a loser, reality smacks you in the face and reminds you that you're a loser. If you're fat, girls don't want to suck your dick. If you're ugly, girls tell you're ugly. If you're a bum, girls won't want to go on dates with you. Like, there's always negative reinforcements for your inadequacies as a man. However, there's not negative reinforcements for a woman's inadequacies. So she's able to kind of go through life like, ooh, everything is great, blah, blah, blah. It's not really till they get older and they realize that they no longer qualify and or don't qualify for the man that they think they deserve that reality hits them. But a lot of times by that point, it's too late. They're 30 years old, settled in their career, not as attractive. And, you know, they've been just having casual sex and they think, well, let me go ahead and try to find a guy at the end of the road. And that's just not how the way the world works.
Do you think your view of women is skewed because you have certain women on your podcast and are in the social media space, whereas there are more high quality women out there that you don't see on a day-to-day basis?
Fantastic question. So we really pride ourselves on bringing girls from different demographics. We brought girls in that have master's degrees, bachelor's degrees. At the beginning of every show, we go around the table. How old are you? Where are you from? What do you do for work? What's your highest education level completed? What's your profession? And, you know, we do get a good amount of girls that are involved in, you know, OnlyFans or models or musicians or whatever. But we do get a good amount of professionals as well. And what I've realized is the more education and the more money a girl earns, the more stuck in her ways she is as to what she thinks she deserves from the opposite gender. For example, if she has a master's degree, makes $100,000 per year, she's going to want a guy that makes at least 120, if not more, and is at her same level of education and or competence. So being educated and being intelligent, though I'm not, you know, faulting girls for being that way, but it does limit their ability to find the man that they want, because women typically date across or above social hierarchies versus men, we're cool with dating down, right? So if anything, education, et cetera, doesn't really help, it exacerbates the problem. Now, as far as like girls, you know, being good girls, everything, we do get a good amount of good girls that come on the show. We've had a few virgins, girls that, you know,
say they're virgins.
Yeah, or yeah, which is probably thinking. But the funny part is this, the girls that are quiet, a lot of the times that people don't really pay attention to whatever, those are the smart ones because they agree with what we're saying. But women are not confrontational, so they don't want to go ahead and be like, he's right, you girls are stupid. They'll just be quiet. And then after the show, they'll be like, yeah, those girls were stupid. So, you know, but those are the girls that people don't really see or hear from because they don't say much.
Why do so many men see themselves as victim of their circumstances? But to be honest, they're not bothered about doing anything about it.
Well, I mean, we got a lot of soy boys, man. I think we got a lack of role models. We got a lot of guys that sit there and say, you know, kind of, see, because here's the problem. When you're a guy and you're a loser, reality smacks you in the face. But we don't really have guys that give people solutions to get out of their situation and tell them, oh, no, it's okay, feel sad. You deserve better participation trophies, etc. We've softened up society. And this is why so many guys are losers, because we don't tell them, hey, you can't sit there and cry. You know, it's unacceptable to be fat. It's unacceptable to be incompetent. It's unacceptable to be a loser. You know, I got a lot of slack for saying, stop smoking weed. Don't do drugs. You know, I came from a law enforcement background, so I was like very, you know, straight edge. I rarely even drink myself, you know, even though it's haram. But, you know, I think if we told guys the truth that like, hey, you need to cut out this BS, right? Whether it's pot or alcohol or chasing after girls, and you really have to become a somebody, more guys would take it seriously. But we tell guys it's okay to be mediocre.
And they drink, which is a depressant.
Yeah.
All at the time, they're in their prime when they could be really going forward and going for it and making something of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in your 20s, I've said it, you know, you kind of, I don't want to say you have to sacrifice your 20s all the way, but you need to take that time to really like build your empire, because that's when you're going to have the most energy. Your testosterone is the highest. You're really going to build that foundation from which you're going to build your castle. And if you don't take your 20s seriously, you're going to have to make up for it later. Now, does that mean you could wake up at 30 years old and figure things out? Of course, you absolutely can. But you're not going to have the same energy level. You're not going to have the same persistence. And unfortunately, you might not have the same amount of time, because you might have a family at that point, you might have a kid, and you have other responsibilities. So your 20s is really when you build that foundation. But so many guys are okay with pissing it away with smoking weed or doing drugs or partying, and it's like it's just not an acceptable
they
way
think
to go.
That that's living life, but what they don't realize, if they put the work in, made some money, then you'd really be living life. You
absolutely.
Could be out in Dubai doing it, you know?
Absolutely. I've always said typically things that give you front-end pleasure almost always lead to back-end pain versus things that give you front-end pain almost always lead to back-end pleasure. For example, if you know you take your 20s and you party, you have a great time, woo, yeah, this is lit, I'm raging, like that's cool and all, but what's going to probably happen is you're going to get a beer gut. Your metabolism is going to slow down. You're not going to have a good physique. You're going to be short of some cash. You could have missed out on some opportunities when you were younger. And then it's going to lead to some back end pain versus if you had, you know, exercised that discipline and focused on yourself, went to the gym, abstained from girls for a little bit, didn't make it the focus. You know, if you want to, you know, womanize every now and then, that's one thing, but you didn't make it the focus and you really saved your money up, et cetera, didn't splurge like an idiot. Well, when you get to 27, 28, 29, 30, 30 plus, you're going to have all these extra resources and life will be better. So, you know, going to the gym, you know, not partying. Like most of my 20s, I drink a little bit more now than I did when I was in my 20s, even in college, because I was an athlete. So all these things kept me away from doing stupid stuff.
I think people sort of fool themselves about drink as well. Uh-huh. Because when I used to hear my friends chatting, because I really don't drink much, it doesn't agree with me, don't really like it, so never have.
Yeah.
But they'd be like, oh yeah, we had a great weekend last weekend. Oh yeah, you were so sick, I was so sick, and oh, what a great time, can't really remember it.
Yeah.
Well, what, was that a great time?
Yeah.
I don't think so. It wasn't an experience, was it?
Yeah. No, I mean, you don't even remember it. You know, I mean, every now and then, you know, I've always said, because here's the thing, people make the occasion to drink versus drinking for the occasion. And I've always said, if you, you know, drink for the occasion, well, then it's something maybe special, maybe enjoying something with some friends. Hey, it is what it is. But a lot of people make the occasion to drink. Oh, it's, you know, Monday the 12th, let's do it, woo, because some random situation happened on the 12th. 5 years ago, it's like, no, man, you got to, if you are going to drink, make it worth it, because you're going to lose gains in the gym. You're going to get a headache. You're going to get a hangover. Your next day is not going to be as productive. So make it worth it. Plan it out properly. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, you got to live life to some degree. But when it's all you do, or you're just a functioning alcoholic, that's when problems arise.
As you say, the best bit is you've buggered yourself for the next day, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, you could write that off.
Yeah, it's pretty much L for the next day.
You talk about simps a lot on your podcast. Mm. I was wondering, what's the difference between a simp and a gentleman?
So, and I talk about this in my book, Why Women Deserve Less. So
great title.
Yeah, I was just about to say, what smooth, a great title.
I saw it on the floor earlier. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Doesn't the less stand for something else as well?
The less?
Yeah, I thought that.
So I could show you.
Yeah, go on. I know it stands for something.
It's here. Where'd it go? Yeah, so I got it in paperback and hardcover and Kindle, of course. So the L is less money, right?
Yeah.
The E is less marriages,
right?
Because we all know marriage is an institution not set up for men to succeed. Less social media attention. And then the last S is less time. And what I want, this book really is about guys prioritizing themselves, right? It's a catchy title and everything else like that. But I have it in the first page, right? So we don't have a bunch of angry misogynists. This book does not call for refusing to help your fellow human if it's a human, nor does it call for refusing to work, interact, or socialize with women in society. It is to prevent you from wasting your resources on the unreciprocated romantic pursuit of women to the point it ruins your life. So that's basically what I'm all about, is getting guys to not waste their time on girls that, quite frankly, don't care about them. That's really the thing. It's, you know, being a gentleman, there's nothing wrong with being a gentleman, but in today's day and age, in 2023 and beyond, we live in a world now where women don't appreciate chivalry. You know, Dave Chappelle famously said, chivalry is dead and women killed it, and I agree with him 100%. Nice guys get punished for being nice guys. So how guys have to approach dating in today's day and age, in the modern age, is you be a gentleman to the girls that deserve it, okay? Because most girls, right, they'll size you up if you're too nice up front. Oh, let me see what I can get out of this guy, etc. Especially if she's attractive. Because what a lot of men don't understand is that attractive women are bombarded by men all day. Hey, you want to come to Dubai? I'll fly you here. Oh, you want to come to LA? You want to come to Miami? You want to come to this video shoot, etc.? You want to come on this boat? Oh, I got a section at this club. So girls literally live life on easy mode when it comes to socializing with the opposite gender. So for you as a man, for you to not get put in that category of all these other simps that are offering her something that she didn't necessarily have to work for, you have to make her earn that gentleman type treatment. You know, I'm not saying treat women poorly, but you got to figure out which women deserve it and which ones don't. And the reality is, most women, quite frankly, don't deserve to be treated like, don't deserve your gentleman treatment. They got to earn it, because if they don't earn it, then they don't respect it.
You mentioned nice guys. Do you think that nice guys always get burnt?
100%.
Because I agree the same, yeah. 90%, I think so, yeah.
And in today's day and age, it's even worse, right? It used to be you could show up on a first date and give a girl flowers and it'd be okay. Can't do that no more. She's going to think you're a sucker. She's like, oh, you know
what? I mean, I gave my girlfriend flowers on the first date and she liked it. I actually got her mum flowers as well.
Yeah, okay. So. Well, you got lucky. But most girls will look at that and be like, oh, this guy's a sucker and let me see what I can get.
I mean, beforehand, I didn't speak to her much on Instagram, you know, so I made her work for it in that regard.
Oh.
And then afterwards.
That doesn't count then. You screened her a bit. So you guys had to have a conversation before you met up.
And then I wasn't getting anything back for a while, so I just ghosted her for a couple of months.
Oh,
and then
there you go.
She came back to me.
That's the way the game goes, good, though, bro. That good. Was just obviously
so then
happen.
The flowers were all right.
I'm surrounded by absolute G's.
Who happen to be wearing the same shirts.
It's the Burberry boys.
But if you want to be surrounded by absolute G's, then you should definitely join our exclusive free Discord community. And the link to join that is down below in the description.
And with hundreds of thousands of you now watching our videos, it'd be really nice if more of you subscribed and we can get over that 100,000 barrier and have a big old celebration.
So as Dad says, join the Strike It Big tribe by subscribing and we will see you in all the next podcasts. Anyway, woo-hoo, back to this episode.
And the thing is that I tell guys all the time, right? It takes two to get finessed. And if, you know, girl finesses you, it's your fault. Like, you should have been able to read the signs and know. And what I tell guys is, a girl will use you for your time, attention, resources if you don't nip it in the butt quickly. That's why I tell guys, like, see if the girl's interested in you you'll know from the first date, right? Or even when you're texting with her or when you're talking with her. But a lot of guys will sit there and take a girl out on 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 dates and she doesn't even kiss them. And it's like, oh, I'm just waiting. And it's like, no, dude, like, stop wasting your time on girls that don't care about you, because girls will sit there and waste your time if you let them.
I just want to be friends.
Yeah.
But do you think men and women can be friends, though?
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Why not?
Well, here's the thing. There's always exceptions to the rule, right? Of course, like maybe there's a situation where if you were to hook up with her, there'd be dire social consequences. Maybe you guys work together, whatever. That's cool. But I would consider that more of an associate type relationship, not necessarily friends.
How about if the guy actually just doesn't fancy the girl?
That's rare though. Most guys will sleep with anything. Now, are there situations like that? For sure. But
there are definitely situations like that. I've got a friend in business who ran a sports shop, and she had a particularly hard time. And she basically wanted me to help her through that bad time. And I didn't want anything from it. She didn't want anything from it. It was it's purely that. And I think it is possible to have friends that are girls. But I think it is, as you say, it is quite rare.
It's rare. And then, I mean, if I'm going to be all the way honest, it's pointless too. Like, girls don't really offer men much utility, you know?
How about emotional support? So if you wanted to speak to someone, you wouldn't really go to your boys and have a cry, you know? It's not something I would do, I might do that with my girlfriend, you know?
Hell no. It's the opposite.
No, don't have a cry.
You see, I'd rather go to the boys.
Not necessarily a cry, but I wouldn't open up to my boys the same way that I would to...
See, I'd open up more to my boys, for sure.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
So would I. What's wrong with you, son?
I don't know if you would. You don't open up to us, but you do open up to mum.
Yeah, that's true.
No, not in the same way. But then I've been with my wife, well, 20 years married and nearly 30 years together. It's a little bit of a different situation, I think.
But do you think men have that kind of emotional side to them?
Of course, of course. And I think guys need to, if you're going to open up, I think guys need to open up with other individuals that share the same struggles. And I think men understand what men go through, but women don't, man. Women, actually, to be honest with y'all, women have zero... Number one, knowledge and or care for the male experience and or struggle. Because in 2023, right, in modern day society, women live life on easy mode because they're able to enjoy all the same rights and privileges as men while simultaneously being able to get privileges and accesses that only women get, being treated like a lady, etc. So women are able to kind of double dip treatment in a way. So I would say opening up to your girl is probably one of the biggest mistakes that mainstream media tells men to do, because what ends up happening is... Now, are there women out there that will accept, you know, crying on her shoulder, etc.? Of course, there's always going to be. But why open up Pandora's box? Because some girls might not know how to respond to it because it's raw male emotion, right? It might turn her off. She might say, "Oh, I don't know how to react to this."
Well, if you say, "Babe, I'm feeling a bit stressed. You know, I just need to chill for a bit, and I want to chill with female energy rather than crying on their shoulder." Versus if you said the same thing to a guy, he'd be like, "Oh, you need to do this to fix your issue. This, this, this." And maybe at that time you don't want to, you know, certainly fix it. You just want to chill, relax, de-stress.
I would say do it by yourself. You don't need a woman there.
So what's the point in having a partner if that's not what they're for?
Making sandwiches and sex. Let's say you're going through something, right? You're better off figuring it out, getting it fixed on your own, coming and saying, "All right, hey, we had a little issue, but it's fixed." Versus, "Oh, I need this, blah, blah, blah." Like, women aren't really deductive problem solvers. And I know that, "Oh, that's so sexist." But reality shows it. Look at the world you see behind us, these beautiful buildings, etc. They're built by men, not women, right? Women are not deductive problem solvers.
I always think women want to tell you their problems but don't want to fix, whereas guys tell you a problem that they want to fix for.
Exactly, which is why I think going and telling your guy friends, though, they might ridicule you about it, make fun of you or whatever, they're going to give you a solution. Versus a girl is going to say, "Oh, it's okay, blah, blah, blah." But she's not going to give you a solution. And you can't blame her because women don't understand the male experience at all.
So what makes a good leader then?
It's got to be a guy. It can never be a woman. Women are not
never
designed to lead. Nah, man. Nah, maybe she could lead in, you know, figuring out what color to paint the house or something. Maybe not even that. Maybe the sheets on the bed, something like that.
Is there not any scenario? Can Kylie Jenner not lead Kylie Skin well? Or
what I've realized is that when you put women in leadership roles, they'll lead you all right to the end of the relationship. And the reason why is because women typically want to be in their feminine energy. They don't want to be in their masculine energy. And what I've realized is when a girl's in her masculine energy and she's leading things, she ends up starting getting frustrated, annoyed, flustered, and she's going to bear that out on you a lot of the times, right? Like, your inadequacy as a male to lead and your lack of masculinity is going to have to come up and manifest through her, and she's going to be annoyed by it. So can women lead in some situations? Yes, but it has to be short, nuanced. Maybe it's... she knows a certain thing in this moment in time and she can quickly, "Oh, I know this, blah, 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 cool." And then bam, you go back right again and take over the frame. The point is that the man's got to control the frame of the relationship, the overall frame.
How there's about like not in a relationship?
Yeah, what though? About in business?
Yeah, so no, I was thinking, for example, like the Prime Minister of Germany, you know? Yeah. Like when you're in peace times, maybe a feminine energy is better because it's not as aggressive and you don't create wars.
No, need that masculine energy, because the thing is, I want people to understand is that women are absolutely capable and able. But does that mean that they're optimal? No, that's my point. They can do everything a man can do, 100%. But are they optimal at it? A lot of the times, no. Especially when it comes to leadership, masculine roles.
What are some things that women can do better than guys can?
They're socially superior to us, absolutely, in every way. For example, a girl can walk into a room, size up the whole situation. That guy's friend zone. That girl's a bitch. This girl seems a little weird. This girl's on her period, whatever. It's amazing how they're able to size up social situations immediately, right? And the thing is that it's like God-given. Like a girl that's, you know, I'm 33 now. If I, you know, you brought some 18-year-old in here, she'd be able to size up the room faster than me probably. And I've been studying this stuff for a while. So women are very socially aware and keen to what's going on. This is why, like, when a guy comes up to them and they're not confident, etc., that's why women screen so hard for confidence. Because when a guy comes up to them and they're unsure of how they move or whatever, they're like, oh, this is low value behavior. This guy probably doesn't have friends. This guy is awkward, is strange. I'm turned off. I'm good. Even though he's handsome, he's weird. I'm good. But they're able to pick that up just off of, they call it the vibes, right? And, you know, the vibes and the energy, which is a really shitty way of saying they're able to pick up on social awareness.
So how does a guy build their confidence in a real way rather than just faking it?
Getting in the gym, number one. I say that's always like the number one foundation, right? Because when you go to the gym and you can sit there and squat with a barbell on your back or do pull-ups or other very difficult exercises, it's going to build a good amount of confidence in your body. Then from there, you need to definitely, you know, make money, right? Being successful is extremely important. And then you got to deal with women and you got to have multiple girls. And I know people say, oh my God, that's so controversial.
Multiple girls at the same time?
100%, man. Yeah, absolutely.
If they know about each other or...
Well, I'm honest about it. Yeah. I tell girls all the time, I'm never going to be monogamous to you. Like, that's stupid. But, you know, I don't knock guys that are monogamous, but I think a big part, in especially modern day dating, of keeping girls in line is having other girls in line.
When I was young, a girl was either good looking or not, or maybe two beers good looking. So nowadays you rate them generally out of 10. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about rating women? What factors you take into account? Are we going to
only looks?
Well, what factors, period?
Yeah, so I if I'm going to go looks, right, she can't be fat. I like girls that go to the gym and train. But if a personality, she's got to be compliant. That's number one. That's if it's going to be a girl I'm going to take any somewhat serious, she's got to be compliant and submissive, because if she's not, nothing is going to work, because she's going to challenge my authority. She's not going to listen to me, etc., cause a headache. And I don't care how hot she is. If she's not submissive, sex only category. Never take her seriously. And then from there, she's got to be polite. She's got to be
feminine.
When
you say submissive,
yeah,
do you want to give us a definition of that fully?
Sure. Because a lot of feminists tend to get this messed up and be like, oh my God, does that mean I got to wear a ball and chain and cook for you and slave for you? No, it means understanding that I'm the man, you're the woman, I lead the relationship, and you follow me. And the thing about submission that women don't understand is that it actually takes a very strong woman to submit, because she's got to be able to understand her man's competence, say, okay, and then relinquish that authority, which is actually very powerful when a woman can do it. See, a lot of modern day women look at submission as a bad thing, when in reality, it's a very good thing. Because when you submit, it lets you be in your feminine energy, it lets the man take over, and it puts the genders in their natural roles, in their natural states, and the relationship works out better that way.
Are there enough strong guys out there for women to to submit? Fuck no. So is it their fault that there's strong women that don't want to submit?
Yeah, so, and this is a very... this is a very complex issue, because what's happening now is, and I blame both genders for this, by the way. I don't blame just women here. I vocalize the issues from the female side because no one talks about them. But the reality is it's a two-pronged issue. So from the issue, right, is that you got women that are becoming high achievers, going to college, out earning men, especially in the West, whether it's United States, United Kingdom, etc. Women dominate university attendance, right?
Yeah.
Which is a big predicator on how much money you earn. So they're becoming more educated, making more money, becoming more successful, getting further along in their careers. Well, unfortunately for women, as they make more money and becomes more successful, their demand for a man on the same level goes up alongside it. And more guys are not going to college because, you know, colleges are indoctrination camps nowadays. And they're very, very feminine, right? Very toxic, right? Very left-leaning and liberal. And this is not a good space for a lot of guys. So guys are kind of opting out of college. Well, as a part of, and then you got pornography, video games, men not being as social, got a lot of guys being single, etc. All these things play into it where you have an abundance of women that are successful and competent, and you got a lot of guys that are walking away from the job market, addicted to porn, addicted to video games, etc. So it's just not matching up because women's standards are going up while guys are simultaneously going
down.
So
what's the solution to this? Is it less women going and becoming educated, or is it for the guys to actually step it up a notch and become more educated?
Guys got to step their game up.
But the guys need to be educated, though, because you can just have competence, build a business.
No, they don't.
You don't have to be educated.
College is a scam. I mean, I'm a college grad myself, but, like, I mean, looking back, like, yeah, college a lot of times is a scam if you're not majoring in something that's going to actually get you a career. But guys definitely need to step it up, and they need to get their competence up. Yeah.
But like, isn't it hard for guys to step it up when society is trying to push them down?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. You know, when you keep the fighting age males down, well, what are you able to do? You're able to control society. And women are more impressionable. Women are more, how do I say this? They're more group thinkers than they are independent thinkers. And it's easier to control a society when there's weak men and women running the situation. And this is not my opinion or what I think, and all the women that might, you're a misogynist, blah, blah. Women are 100% group thinkers and followers, and they're consumers. And the 80% of the consumer base is female, yeah, and they control 3/4 of the debt. This isn't by, you know, accident. You know, women are inherent followers. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. When you look at trends, when you look at music, when you look at advertisers, right? Advertisers purposely target women in their ads. This is why they make the guy look like a bumbling fool. This is why sitcoms since the 90s have been making the men look foolish. And we prop women up because when you prop women up, they're more likely to buy. I've always said it. When you lie, women buy. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because some of these, you know, feminist propaganda people, right? Like Beyonce, who I talk about all the time. She says, oh, all the single ladies, you know, I'm strong, independent woman. You're replaceable, blah, blah, blah. The reality is, who's she with? She's with Jay-Z, who has a higher net worth than her. He cheated on her before. Did she leave him? No, because the reality is she's the replaceable one. But we don't tell, right, men about their value. We, you know, uplift women all the time, but we don't tell them that, hey, there are limits to your power. We don't tell them. We don't tell them that, hey, find a guy when you're still young and beautiful, right? Get a career and everything. That's cool. But make sure that you find a man while you're, you know, going up on your trajectory, and find a guy that's on your level or that's on the incline, which we tell girls, have fun, be hoes, enjoy your 20s, and then there'll be a nice guy waiting for you at the end of the line. And that's not how it goes. And that's how a lot of these people like Beyonce, Cardi B, it's don't cook, don't clean, but still got a ring. Like, there's so much propaganda in the West that lies to women. But when you lie to women, that's how you get them to buy.
Do you think that you have to be physically big to be masculine? I'm asking for a mate. It's not for me. It's not for me.
No, you don't. It's all obviously the way you carry yourself. I think as a guy who's shorter, right? Even if you're shorter, you know, you can build a really great physique easier, right? Not necessarily easier, but, like, you know, 30 pounds of muscle is going to go a long way when you're under 6 feet tall. And I tell all guys that are under 6 feet tall, you have to go to the gym. You have a choice.
Yeah, I'm working on it now, but yeah, it's not an easy journey. It's though. I'm a hard gainer for sure. It's difficult.
Yeah.
And I started late as well. I wish I got on it earlier. Now I'm just an idiot. But yeah.
And I was a hard gainer too. And, like, yeah, you got to force feed yourself, you know, whether it's like eating these like weight gainer shakes before you go to bed or whatever. But I definitely understand.
We keep saying that to him. He keeps saying, but I'm not hungry. So you got to force it
down. Yeah, I'm halfway through the meal and I'm like, just really trying to get it down. You know, it's difficult.
One tip is put olive oil in your protein shakes. You won't taste it, and you'll be able to get a good amount of calories in without even.
What, you think it makes a big difference?
Helps it slide down.
Yeah, well, olive oil, it's very calorie dense. That's why. Mm. Not you know, 1 gram of fat is 9 calories. So if you put a couple tablespoons of that, bam, you just upped up like 400 or 500 calories without even trying.
Ah, cool. Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, put it in your protein shake. You won't even taste it, and you get the extra calories.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. That's cool. Yeah,
little hack.
Could you ever fall head over heels in love with a woman?
I'll have love for a woman, but I'll never fall head over heels for a woman. And that's because when a guy falls in love with a girl, you put yourself in a very compromising situation where rational thought goes out the window and you start to think with this head versus this head. And that's when you start doing really stupid things as a guy.
So do you have to stop yourself falling head over heels in love with the right woman?
It hasn't happened yet, but I predict at some point it'll probably end up happening and I'll have to, like, snap myself out of it. But yeah, I mean, falling head over heels for a woman is very dangerous as a man, especially in today's day and age where, you know, the divorce courts are real. You know, getting married is just an unacceptable option nowadays, right? With the state being involved, right? Mm. And here's the thing. It sucks because I believe in a nuclear family. And to have a nuclear family, you need a, you know, a mom and a dad. Yeah. And being married is obviously the best way to do it. So I think the best way to go about it in the Western world is you got to do it where the state isn't involved.
So here's something we never had in my day. Mm-hmm. And that was a thing called a head count.
Mm.
Right? So for your wife to be, what's an acceptable head count for her?
Body count.
Oh,
head count.
Well, that's what I mean. So I always think it because I'm sorry, but it's because Andrew Tate said it should be on their forehead.
Oh yeah.
So I always think of it as a head count.
Yeah.
Sorry,
give me a hook.
Well, maybe how many times she's given head. Right. I don't know. But anyway, so
give me a good hook.
What's an acceptable body count for your future wife?
Man, she got to be damn near a virgin, to be honest.
How close to virgin is that then?
At this point, if I'm going to be married to her, no more than 3, probably absolute max. If she's going to be, yeah, even that, I'm kind of like.
And I'm told these days that is very hard to find.
That's incredibly hard to find. And I'm completely aware of the fact that that is a very hard standard. I'm not going to be like the delusional girls that come on the show. Right? Women want to invest in a man's future. Men do not want to invest in a woman with a past. And that's just how it goes. Women are interested in the future. Men are interested in the past. And I think the sooner a girl understands that they have inherent value and they have to protect it, the better off they're going to be in the long run to find their guy. But we lie to girls and tell them, you know, oh yeah, like, you know, go ahead and do whatever you want. But yeah, a girl that has a high body count, yeah, she loses value because she doesn't have temperance. She doesn't have discipline. I would say a girl that has a high body count is the equivalent to a guy that smokes pot and, you know, eats Cheetos all day in his mom's basement.
When you say marriage really isn't worth it in the Western world,
yeah,
do you think that's having a negative influence on that, you know, family unit that is productive? In the future, because lots of guys will listen to you and think, yeah, well, I'm never going to get married. I'm just going to sleep with multiple people and the whole problem is exacerbated.
Mm. Well, I think what I'm doing is I'm teaching guys how to acclimate to the current situation. So the problem is, I wish it was 1950. Women were traditionally feminine. They came from a two-parent household. Their father raised them right. They had a mom that taught them how to be a lady. And, you know, you met a girl and she was a dutiful girlfriend / wife ready to go. But those days are gone. So what I tell guys, you got to adapt to the new normal. And the new normal is a lot of girls are hoes. A lot of girls don't deserve a relationship. A lot of girls don't deserve marriage. And if you are going to get married, you need to have some things in place. And I know this is kind of controversial, but this is what I tell guys. I tell them you need to be at least 35 years old, have had sex with 50 girls, have making 6 figures a year, 6 months to 1 year in savings, and you're in shape. Now, before everyone goes, oh my God, what the hell?
Yeah, but like, why 50 girls?
Okay.
So, because my body counts significantly less.
Okay, fair
but
enough.
I feel like, you know, being with one girl for a long time mm-hmm. and having, you know, a partner and learning the ins and outs of it is enough. You know, you don't need to see multiple women because it devalues you as a man. Do you respect yourself as much when you sleep with multiple women?
This is a view that I share.
I don't want to give it away too easy.
We made a very good case for monogamy to Sneeko.
Okay.
We had him sort of rethinking his life, I think.
Yeah, I see my energy as something I want to retain. And I don't want to go out there and share it with every girl. You know, they have to be someone special for me to spend time with them. I'd rather put it into my businesses and make myself more successful.
But he's still 24.
Yeah. So that's adorable. But the reality is...
That's adorable, son.
And here's the thing. That is a fantastic mindset to have, guys. It is. But I'm going to tell you why it's not optimal. The reason why it's not optimal is because girls nowadays have more sexual partners, right? And since girls are more sexually experienced with the opposite gender and understand how to navigate the sexual marketplace and the dating marketplace, a girl's strongest superpower, right, as I said before, is you not understanding yours. And when you haven't hooked up with enough girls and you don't know how women really are and you don't understand female nature, which you can only acquire that through dating and sleeping with girls, what's going to happen is you're going to get finessed. Now, it used to be you could find a nice girl next door and she'd be okay and you wouldn't have to worry about it and have all this experience, etc. But nowadays, for you to be able to come into the relationship as an experienced male who's been through
other women, you've made money, you've been to the gym, etc. I would say 50 is a good place to be because a lot of these girls have high body counts. Now, is it going to be possible that you can find a girl that has a low body count that's going to be okay with it, etc.? There's always exceptions to the rule.
Yeah, I feel like my girlfriend has a lower body count than me.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to marry her. You know, yeah. I think she's the one in the future. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel the need to go out there and sleep with more girls.
Yeah. But if you did, right, what ends up happening also is that it makes you a very good judgment on which girls are worthy of giving a relationship to and which ones aren't. It gives you that experience so that you have, how do I say, you know what's good and what's bad. But the problem is that a lot of guys, they get shack up with the first girl they get, right? And that girl might be a chameleon. That girl might not necessarily be worth a relationship, but they're not able to tell the difference because they're not experienced with women.
Why do you necessarily need to get that experience though from sleeping with them? I get maybe going on dates, mm-hmm. but why sleep with all of them to know that? I know as a man, like, when the woman is someone that I would respect and I want as a partner.
Yeah, I've also learned from other people and just social media and speaking to people that all these girls are wild, you know, all these girls ain't shit. So when I've got it on lock and it is good, why fuck it? That doesn't make any sense. Like, why ruin it?
I have to be honest with you, you've got a bit of history as dad and son. Mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, Curtis has found a particularly lovely girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, she respects the family, me and my wife. Mm-hmm. She respects Curtis. Mm-hmm. She's very intelligent. She's very, just a lovely person. Mm-hmm. So I think he has got an exception there, to be perfectly honest. From my experience, I'd say he's got an exception.
Yeah, and I'm sure he probably does. But in general, you know, I tell guys not to wait for the exception. You got to understand the generalities of how a lot of women move. So when it comes to because your question was, if I'm not mistaken, was why have sex with them, right?
Yeah. Because, why do you need to have sex with them?
Because that's when you've conquered the girl and you've pretty much figured it out. Because the thing is that, and I'll explain what
these
I mean.
These are my favorite pods.
Yeah.
Conquered the girl.
Yeah. So, and the reason why I say that is because when girls deal with men, right, it's a dance between the two genders, right? The woman is trying to leverage sex for some kind of compliance from you, whether it's more dates, resources, time, something, right? And the man is trying to get sex without giving up everything that he has to. But let's be honest here. Most of the time, the girls are winning this, you know, head and shoulders above guys where they're getting whatever they need and the guy is, you know, sitting there still spending resources and sometimes he doesn't even get it. So as a guy, right, your job is to get the sex as quickly as possible, get her over with, and figure out who she is. Because girls will play a front, right, and act a certain way or behave a certain way before they give up the box. So I say, guys, experience a multitude of different women because you're able to figure out which girls are good, which girls are bad, etc. And 50, I think, is the bare minimum in the Western world because these girls are out here. There's chicks that get that in a semester in college, right? As women are becoming more educated, chasing their careers more, etc., their body counts are going up alongside it. So I just don't want guys to be in a situation where they're dealing with a girl who's more sexually experienced than he is. She's able to manipulate him, play a certain role. He can't see the difference because he's thinking with this head and not this head because he hasn't dealt with enough girls. He marries this girl or he commits to her and then bam, he gets divorced, raped or destroyed or, you know, he gets cheated on, whatever, because he didn't know better. So I think the guy's got to be in a position where he understands his value and he can only do that when he deals with other women.
Surely if we're setting girls the men the target to sleep with 50 girls, though, there's going to be less nice girls out there.
Well, I was going to say, the ideology means that, doesn't it? I mean, if every guy mm-hmm. sleeps with 50 girls, mm-hmm. how's he going to find a virgin or up to
a
five
low body
count? It's
yeah.
not going to happen.
Well, here's the thing. You got to get out there, get the experience, and then when you're ready to settle down, you're doing it on your terms. And then you can go out to a place that, you know, prioritizes that type of society, whether it's, you know, Dubai, maybe it's the Middle East somewhere, maybe a Catholic country, depending on whatever your religion is. But my thing is, I just want guys to be able to be good assessors of female characteristics that are to their benefit as a man versus taking the first chick that gets their pee-pee wet, which is what so many guys do.
Okay, so you feel like a girl lies to you until you have sex with her and then you see the real her and then you can make a judgment?
That's a part of it. Right. But you got to sleep with her and then that's when kind of the mask comes off a little bit and then you can try to figure out who she is. But the thing is that I just don't want guys. And the other thing too, there's another reason why I want them to do this. I want them to have an abundance mindset because a lot of guys get with girls so that they can solely so they can get sexual access. I don't want that. I want them to get with the girl because they want to. A lot of guys get with a girl or get in a relationship with a girl out of necessity. I want them to get in there with an abundance mindset, like, I'm picking you. The problem is that most guys allow girls to pick them versus them picking the girl because they're thirsty.
Why can't you have all of that without sleeping with the 50 girls though? Like, why do you have to feel like you're settling down for no reason and you haven't picked them?
Because you need that experience to be able to come to a place where you're able to figure out which girl is worthy. And I would say after 50 girls, you should have that in place. Remember, this is for marriage. Mm. Because remember, guys, marriage in the West for a guy is a very dangerous proposition. Very. Especially if you're a higher net worth individual. So I'm saying this is the bare minimum so that you're going to be able to be a good assessor of with whether a woman is worthy or not. Now, does that mean if you find the one, right, or if you find a chick that's worthy at 20, that you're gonna be like, sorry, babe, I gotta go smash another 30 to figure it out? No. But what I am saying is that 50 is a pretty good barometer for you to be able to assess and determine whether a girl is girlfriend material or not. I just want guys to go in with their eyes wide open, and having a higher notch count typically allows you to do that.
What happens to all those girls you've devalued and then you move to Dubai or somewhere and they're left, you know, until they're 30 without
a husband? She's for the streets anyway at that point. I look at it like recreational use only. It's just your turn. Like, get your practice in, figure it out. But she's going to be a whore anyway. Like, these girls, like, the thing is that
if there wasn't guys out there giving it away too easy, then how could they be whores?
Because girls are having sex with the minority of men. That's the reality. It's the girls are all chasing the same small percentage of men and fucking those guys. So they're going to be hoes anyway. So you might as well get your experience in with these hoes, get your reps in, right? Figure it out. And then, commit to the girl that's worthy.
And why 50? Why do you come to that number? Why not 100? Why not 30? You know, why 50?
Because I think by the time you're 35 years old, 50 should be an attainable number for most guys. Not escorts, though. That doesn't, for all people watching, not escorts, okay? That does not count if you're paying for Box. I actually don't advocate guys pay for Box. I think that's a terrible thing for guys to do. Are guys going to do it anyway? It is what it is. But personally, I don't think it's a good move. But regardless, I say 50 because... Dude, women are promiscuous now, man. Like, I genuinely don't think men understand how promiscuous modern day women are.
I think we've mentioned marriage a lot. Is it ever a good idea to go into a marriage from a defensive position with like a prenup or something like that?
I think you have to.
Well, does it set the tone though wrong for the relationship?
For her, maybe.
Can you even prenup in the UK?
You can't, but no. You can in America. And, mm.
Yeah. You can't prenup in the UK?
Oh, no.
Not properly, no.
Failed society. no offense. No, you have to go in on defense. Yeah, you have to go in on defense. Because the thing is that, and people get mad when I say this, but men have to bring something to the table. Women don't. That's why they can say dumb shit like, hey, I am the table. Like, men have to bring value, period. A man is only of value in the world unless he brings value. Women, however, don't have to bring anything to the table. So a guy's got to go in protecting what he brings to the table because girls, a lot of the times, are incentivized to break up with you and initiate divorce. So how are you going to stop that incentivization? You have to put a hard stop on your resources and access to it, because I have seen it before where women literally meet with a family attorney before they get married. Oh, how long do I got to make it wait, et cetera. It's terrible.
What I found interesting on one of your pods, you went around the table and asked the girls, would they go with an average guy after you'd ascertained what an average guy was?
Yeah.
And every one of them said yes, but also every one of them said, yeah, but we'd have to improve together.
Yeah.
So basically, none of them wanted to be with an average guy.
Yeah.
And the chances are he's an average guy. He's always going to be an average guy because he's an average guy.
Exactly.
So that's all of that table. We're going to end up in a divorce.
Yeah, the reality is average women don't want average men anymore. And going back to that, the five things I said, 100K a year, 50 women, etc. What that does is it makes you above average. Because when you've hooked up with 50 girls, you have competence to female nature to a degree. Because the thing is with men is that you can't just sleep with girls without bringing something to the table. So if you've hooked up with 50 girls... I know off rip, you have some level of competence when it comes to female nature and not getting famoosed. Because I'm teaching guys how to come into this from a defensive standpoint. My boy Tate would say the Aikido, right? So that you don't get famoosed by girls. Because if you got your money on point, 35 years old, you got some life experience, you're in the gym, got 6 months to a year of savings, etc. You're now what I would consider like a beginner level, higher value guy. You're above average. So now you're able to command respect from women, because the way women operate, I use Pokemon analogies all the time, right? You guys ever play Pokemon back in the day? Yeah, okay. So like if you got like a level, you know, 50 Charizard, right? But you only got two badges and you say flamethrower, he's going to go to sleep, right? He's not going to listen to you. That's how it is with women. Women operate the same way. You got to be the top gym leader, right? With a bunch of badges for women to take you seriously and respect you. And you have to lead by example a lot of times. So what I say is guys have to get their stuff in order so that girls will respect you, especially modern day girls that bring their own stuff to the table.
Do you think the high value girls, like for example,
their own money to the table?
My girlfriend, I really don't think she would respect me if I had slept with 50 girls. I think she'd think, well, you're just giving it away. Why should I respect you
more?
You?
She would respect you more.
I disagree.
Okay.
I would also actually disagree. And okay. On this particular occasion.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
It's getting spicy.
I'm looking forward to what's coming here.
So let's say you go to the store, right? And you got, let's say, blueberries and, you know, raspberries, right? And you can get either one of them, right? But you always get the blueberries. You have the money to get the raspberries as well, right? They're both similar price. You get the blueberries every time, right? But then another guy, right? He can only afford bananas, 99 cents. So he gets the bananas, right? Who's the more impressive guy? The one who gets the blueberries and chooses to get the blueberries even though he can get the raspberries, or the guy who gets the bananas because he's limited to the bananas?
Yeah, but I feel like I can go and get whatever I want. I could get what I want. I've chosen not to get all of the stuff I want, and I've chosen to be loyal. So I think that's more powerful.
Yeah.
Choosing not to.
But here's the thing. You chose to be loyal. Most guys don't choose to be loyal. They're loyal out of necessity. That's the problem. I want guys to be loyal out of choice if they're going to do it. That's the key. Because
I think we can agree
there. He has got a point there, because a lot of guys, it's the first time that they'll get a sniff and they will just literally lock it down instantly because they do not want to lose it. It's like, if I lose this, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
That is true. Obviously,
so if guys are going to be loyal, right, and be monogamous, that's fine. But I want you to make that decision. And most importantly, I want the girl to know that at any time, you can go ahead and replace her. That's when women behave the best, is when they know they can be replaced. And I know it sounds terrible to have it like that, but it works with employees. It works with people that are your subordinates, etc. They can't get too comfortable, because when people get too comfortable, what happens? They end up getting lazy. Oh, I can't be replaced. I could do what I want. I run this place, blah, blah, blah. Hell no, you don't. And women are some of the worst offenders when they're comfortable in a relationship with a man. That's when the disrespect happens. That's when they start to act crazy, talk back, etc. So girls act the best when you have other women in line. That's just kind of how it is. So this is why I tell guys, I don't think monogamy is in your best interest as a man, because your only real power as a man is to replace your girl or be able to walk away. So when you say, I'm going to be monogamous, that's fine, but it needs to be a choice. And you can always let her know, yo, I'm monogamous to you right now because I'm choosing it. But the guy that chooses it is way more valuable than the guy that's forced to be monogamous. And then going back to the thing you said about 50 girls, right? Now let me tell you why I think she would respect you. The reason why she would respect you is because you had all those girls and you picked her. Girls never want to admit this, but they want to be picked. They never want to have to pick the guy. They want the guy to pick them.
She knows I could have most girls with the position I'm in, the money I've made, and I have picked her, and I haven't gone and slept around and had all of those girls, which makes me more respectable.
Here's the thing. It wouldn't hurt you either way. Like, let's say you were in a former life, you were a porn star. Right. And the day before you guys get married, right, she sees a video of you doing a bukkake with 10 chicks, right?
Yep.
You bang 10 girls.
Yep.
She's not going to call off the wedding, because she'd be like, okay, this was 10 years ago. He smashed a bunch of girls. It is what it is. But if it was the other way around, you would 100% call off the wedding. So what I'm trying to say is that a man's past isn't that important to a woman, assuming he's not gay, right? He's heterosexual. But if you bang like girls or whatever, right, she's not going to really care or call off the wedding, because he still picked her at the end of the day. Girls want to be picked.
I just don't know. I think if Millie saw me banging 10 girls on a video, she'd probably be like, well, you didn't tell me about that. It'd be more of an honesty thing rather than because of the
either way, it wouldn't disqualify you from her. And I guarantee she wouldn't call off the wedding. She'd be like, yeah, you know what? Okay. men are going to be men. Like, women know deep down in the back of their minds that guys always want to have sex with other girls. And I think the biggest thing is, I'm not against guys being, well, I don't think guys should be monogamous. But if they are going to do it, I just want them to do it by choice and not out of necessity. Going back to the grocery store situation, you can pick the blueberries or the blueberries or the raspberries, but you pick the blueberries, even though you could get the raspberries, versus the guy that's limited to only the bananas.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah. It should be a choice.
You often say it's too late for a woman past 35 to start a family.
Yeah.
How long is too late for a guy?
I mean, a guy can wait till whenever. I mean, it's...
Well, he can, yeah. But...
I think, you know, if you the beauty about being a man is that if you're if you take care of yourself, you go to the gym, you exercise, eat, have a healthy diet, the clock can get pushed back to into your 50s.
See, I would say that's not strictly speaking true, because I'm 55. I'll talk from my perspective, but I always thought I didn't really want to go past 35 before starting a family, purely because if I want to play football with my son or enjoy his company and all the rest of it, I want to have him around.
Did he ever play football with you?
I've never played football with you, Dad.
No, but you know what I mean. But, you know, if you get too old, well, if I had a kid now, I could have another kid, no doubt. I would be too old to do those sort of things.
I also think that the quality of your children would be less because of your age and your health, and a lot of your sperm.
Well, that comes down to personal preference. But what the point is that men don't have the same biological constraints to time that women do. Like women, like, you know, by the time she's 30, 35 years old, it's like, oh man, you know, current time.
Well, a lot of people refer it to a danger zone for having kids because of the obvious problems.
Yeah, but for a guy, you know, assuming you take care of yourself, et cetera, you got like an extra 10 years plus on a woman. So, but it comes to personal preference, like your parenting style, how much do you want to be involved from a physicality standpoint? Do you want to play with your kids all the time? So it comes down to the guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be an old dad.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think the beauty is, at least for us, like for men, we can pick that. Versus for women, it's like, nah, it's like you better get that guy and have that child somewhere in your 20s, you know, for the, you know, optimal
chances. Do you
ever
feel sorry for those girls that are left on the wayside, should we say?
No, and the reason why I don't is because women are trust fund babies. Men are self-made millionaires. And the thing is that men are only self-made millionaires if they do the work. Women, however, are always given their $1 million up front. So when I see a girl that's past her prime, that can't lock down a guy, or crying on TikTok because she decided to be a hoe in her 20s, I just laugh. I'm like, you fucked up, because you should have consolidated and found a guy when your value was at its highest, instead of being on boats and yachts and in the club and popping bottles and doing all the thought shit that girls do.
But she thought hooking up with you for that night,
or smashing me, whatever she did.
She thought that was her ticket. She was there. She found her man.
She knows what time it is with a guy like me.
Why did you leave your job as a Homeland Specialist Investigator?
Okay.
And move into doing like podcasts?
Yeah, so I was a special agent with Homeland Security Investigations. Basically, my duties were I conducted criminal investigations against everything from human trafficking to human smuggling to money laundering. You know, I did a lot of Mexican cartel investigations, Colombian drug cartel investigations, etc., guns, all this type of stuff. Which is why I know the charges against Andrew are BS. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I actually did real human trafficking investigations. This is BS. But I left because what ended up happening was the YouTube channel started to take off. So in 2020, I had, well, to go all the way here, I started a fitness business in 2018, 2019. And then I was like, okay, to get more reach, let me make a YouTube channel. So I made a YouTube channel and started helping guys get in shape. But then I realized like guys were having a lot of issues with girls as well. So I was like, okay. So I started talking about like, you know, how to be more attractive, getting in the gym, et cetera. And then I realized that this is more of like a male holistic problem. And what I mean by that is that like guys don't have certain things in order, which is why they're failing with girls. So I was like, dude, we got to do everything. A lot of you don't have your money on point. A lot of you guys are fat. A lot of you guys are out of shape. And this is why you lack confidence, which inherently then bam, end product, you're just not an attractive guy because you don't have all these other things in place. So we just started doing the podcast, me and my buddy Fresh, Male Self-Improvement. And the channel started to take off, and then like they called me in one day and they were like, hey, like, dude, you can't be, because obviously I tell the truth about what it really takes to be attractive, etc. Can't be saying this stuff on the internet, man. You're a federal agent. What are you doing? So pretty much they put me in a position where I was like, either YouTube, if you're going to do YouTube, you got to resign. So I chose to be an entrepreneur, right? And it sucked too, because I really enjoyed that job. Like I think about it every day. Like I have a whole other YouTube channel where I do true crime stuff now, right? Kind of helps me relive it. But it was a great job, man. I have nothing bad to say. It taught me a lot of the characteristics I have now, right? Seeing the world for what it really is, being objective, being disciplined, etc. Because like working that job kept me away from doing a lot of stupid things, because I came on with the job when I was 20 years old as an intern. Then I became agent at 23. So all my 20s, I was you know, had a very serious job, so it kept me from doing stupid stuff. So I don't regret a second of it. And it taught me a lot of life experiences, right? Understanding chain of command, being disciplined, going to work when you don't feel like it, being tired, interviewing bad guys. That's why I'm able to interview these bimbos so easily, like that type of stuff, taking notes down. So, but yeah, that's basically what happened is, like they said, hey, you got to pick one. I ended up choosing the entrepreneurship because at that point we had people working for us and stuff. And I was like, I can't leave them hanging. So
yeah, my next question was going to be, do you think you would get sacked for the things that you say online now if you still work there? But obviously you covered on it that they were going to do it anyway.
100%. Like, yeah. Like they basically, So they were basically saying, here's the thing, like I was one of their most productive agents. Like I had a very big case right before I left, right? Because I was real big on like doing, you know, complex criminal organization type cases, listening to phones, wiretaps, right? In the United States, we call them Title III intercepts. So I was doing all that stuff. And it was a national security case too. It was one of the biggest ones in office. So they didn't want me to go, right? So they kind of told me, hey, man, like, what are you doing?
Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. What do you want?
All of it. All that detail about that particular job.
Okay. So I started my career in Laredo, Texas, which is on the Mexican border. And I started with doing human smuggling, which human smuggling is a crime where, not to be confused with human trafficking, I can give you guys the differences if you want me to. But long story short, when people want to come to the United States illegally, they typically have to go through some type of criminal organization to do so. And since I was there on the Mexican border, Mexican cartels kind of oversee the process. And then people are smuggled into the United States through the Southwest border. It could be anything from Mexicans to Chinese to Arabs to Russians, etc. And then every,
so it's more than just Mexicans coming through that border. That's why obviously Trump said about the wall and everything and making it more secure.
Yeah. So like, and like if it's Arabs or Chinese or, Russians, which those are considered exotics, they have to pay a lot more. Like it costs about $60,000 US to smuggle a Chinese national into the United States through Mexico. And the reason why the human smugglers charge more in Mexico for exotics is because typically any country that we have an issue with, right, whether it's China, Arab countries, the Middle East, whatever, Russia, to smuggle them in, that might cause national security issues. The smuggling organization takes risk by doing that, so they charge more for you to smuggle certain nationalities in. So they're making a killing.
Do they just get in, or like, are they good to go once they're in? Like when they pay the $60,000, have they got some sort of papers that they're good like to go, or are you just in the country? And
great question. So the way it goes is they're brought all through Mexico, and then they get to a border town. So in my case, I was in Laredo, Texas, across the river, the Rio Grande River.
Rio Grande River,
yep, is Nuevo Laredo, right? Which is run by, at the time I was there, was the Los Zetas, but now I think it's Cartel del Noreste, right? There's always wars going on and new people taking over. But anyway, I was there from 2014 to 2018. But anyway, they got to pay $1,500 to cross the river. And then once they cross the river, they're paying as they go to get to new locations. So they got to pay a certain fee to this stash house operator. When they get to Nuevo Laredo, then they pay another $1,500 to cross the river. Once they get to the next stash house, they pay another amount. And their family's the ones paying the money in contact with the smugglers the whole way. So they're paying as they get closer and closer to their destination. So when they make it to Laredo, the next job is to get them out of the Southwest border up to San Antonio, which is like a very big hub city, which is about 2 hours north, right? They get them to San Antonio. And then from there, typically that's where they got to pay the final amount to get to their final destination from there. And then this is where the human trafficking occurs. If they don't have the money to pay, that's where they have to start paying off the smugglers, whether it's through working or some kind of, you know, indentured servitude, etc. So that's the difference between human smuggling, human trafficking. Human smuggling is typically to get the person into the country illegally through some illicit organization. And then the human trafficking will typically occur after the fact when they don't have money to pay off the debts.
It's almost making debt slaves of them. Like bringing them in and then...
Yeah, and that was a very grossly simplified version of it, but that's generally how it works. Mm-hmm. I can go into more detail if y'all want.
Yeah, so when they actually get there, though, they're all good to go? Or like...
They're illegal,
so they don't have documents. Now, some organizations will go ahead and hook you up with documents too, whether they're fake or whatever it may be. But a lot of times, they're undocumented aliens. They don't have papers. They just... You know, we'll get with a family member and then they'll get some type of legal work.
Yeah, so literally just pay me, I'm going to get you there, but then you're probably fucked anyway when you get there.
Yeah, well, because the family is paying the smugglers the whole way. And then when you do get to your destination, if your family member paid, then they're going to deliver you to wherever they agreed to drop you off at. And then you meet with that family member and they take you wherever you're going to go.
Did they not recently have an amnesty on illegal aliens in the States, or did that never take place?
It depends. I think they had it for certain nationalities.
Okay.
But I haven't kept up since I've left. I left in 2020. Yeah. December 5th, 2020 was my last day with the government.
How did your mindset change from having like a 9-to-5 job to being an entrepreneur in regards to money?
It didn't change that much. And the reason why is because, so in the United States, right, whether it's the FBI, DEA, Homeland Security Investigations, et cetera, special agents in general, it's a very unorthodox job. And what I mean by that, it's not a 9-to-5. You work all hours, mm-hmm. right? So I could be asleep and then they'll call me at 2 a.m. Hey, we caught this guy at the port, or hey, we stopped this guy here, et cetera. And you got to go and respond. So it was like a 24/7 job, right?
So it wasn't a shock when you became an
entrepreneur. It wasn't a shock being an entrepreneur. The only difference is that instead of working for Uncle Sam, I ended up working for myself. But me, like, I was used to putting in a lot of hours anyway, because when you do like complex criminal organization type cases where you're looking at 50 plus defendants, you know, you're wiretapping phones, you're listening to people, whatever. There's so many moving parts, you're working all the time anyway.
Do you get paid based on your value? Like if you close more cases?
Great question.
You
get more? And so how much do you get paid?
Sure. This is all public information. So with the feds, the way it goes is you're paid a base salary, and then you get something called law enforcement availability pay, also known as LEAP. So, and this is with FBI, DEA, HSI, anyone that's a 1811 or a special agent gets paid on this scale typically. And let's say your base salary, for easy reasons, is, let's say it's $50,000 per year, right? You get an extra 25% added to that automatic in, because it's called law enforcement availability pay. And since they know you're going to be responding at weird hours of the night, maybe you might need to interview a source here, go here, work here, etc. You're all over the place, right? One day you could be debriefing an informant, another day you could be testifying in court, all this stuff, right? You get that 25%, so it'll be $12,500, so you'll make $62,500 that year. But when I left, I had been on the job from 2013 to about 7 years. I was making like $120,000-$130,000 a year US. So it was pretty good for me, because I'm a hardcore minimalist. So like, I don't spend my money anyway like that. I save most of my money.
Especially not on girls.
not really. Like I try to keep my dates cheap if I'm going to go with chicks, because they deserve less, of course. but what was I going to say? But yeah, that's how much I left with. And then that's how much feds typically start getting paid. But like, you starting out, and also you get paid on locality. So like, if you're in New York City, you're going to get paid more than an agent than like, you know, in the middle of Texas. It gets paid off of like the expense of the city. So like San Fran, I think, and New York are the two most expensive cities. So you'll get more than another agent somewhere else.
So now you're an entrepreneur. Do you have any other businesses that we don't know about?
So I have a real estate business. So I have 12 properties, 4 in Florida and then 8 in Connecticut. And then I also have a fitness business as well.
None out here yet?
I'm thinking about expanding out here, because I really do like it here. It's
what's not to like?
Yeah. And see, my family's from Sudan. So like, I come from like a Muslim, Arab speaking family. So like, coming here is like great, because, you know, I spent some time in the Middle East when I was a kid, and it's great to like be back and be able to speak the language and brush up on it and get back aware. So I like it here a lot.
Have you ever thought about dabbling in OnlyFans management? Because you have a lot of girls on your podcast. Yeah. And if you were to promote them, or even behind the scenes do it.
You know, that's come up so many times. Like, oh, you'd make so much money doing it, etc. But no, I wouldn't. Because I'm real big on guys not simping and guys not watching porn and stuff. So that would be completely against the message.
It shows how big the problem is as well with what these girls are making.
Yeah. Like
when you hit, we had one girl on the podcast a long time ago.
Lauren Alexis.
The podcast wasn't even called what it is now. And she is making six figures in a day sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, who the fuck is paying
I
for it?
I believe it.
Dude,
it's ridiculous how much these girls make. Like, and when the girls come on the show, we put their Instagrams on, right? And, you know, of course, they'll promote their OF or whatever, which I guess is pseudo indirectly doing it. But, so, you know, it's how you got to get the girls on the show, right? But, you know, we even tell the guys like, yo, don't be a simp. Don't get their OnlyFans. We'll do it right there with them on the panel. So it's funny. But what I've realized is that guys are going to simp no matter what, dude. It's like you can't stop it. Like, these girls are always going to be able to get simps to finesse. Like, it's just the I call it the simp economy. And I talk about it in my book, Why Women Deserve Less, how there's like, we live in a world now where women really don't like most men. And they don't need men, but they do understand that this has created a great opportunity for them to make money and monetize, because men still have that sexual urge to deal with them. So bam, what ends up happening? Webcam, OnlyFans, pornography, sugar daddy. We have a whole like sex economy where girls are able to monetize on men's lust.
So Google says your net worth is $600,000. How accurate is that?
Way off. It's more along the lines of, I mean, real estate is going up and down every day. It's more along between 2 to 3 mil.
Fair Fair play. That's actually the first straight answer
I suspect it's fairly north of that. Yeah. You should have done that.
I think that's really good to give a straight answer. Many people don't.
I'm real transparent about my finances, you know, because I'm real big on being a minimalist and like not having, you know, like this Rolex I have, right? People are like, ooh, you got a Rolex. I bought this with passive income. I don't take my earned income and buy liabilities, right? Rich dad, poor dad, rule number one.
So why do you see that as a liability, not an asset? Because I see mine as an asset.
Okay, fair enough.
Or a store of cash.
Yeah, I just see it as unparking.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it as well. But like for me, I still look at it like it's like a luxury item that like is I look at it like a luxury item. Like, but you guys are right. It is a way to park your money, of course, especially if you buy like a piece that's gonna hold value. You know, you're not buying, you know, doing dumb nigga shit, right? Icing it out and stuff. But for me, I look at it like if I'm gonna buy something nice like that, I want to buy it with passive income, not, you know, earned income. So
it is a liability. Real estate stuff. You could lose it,
especially if you're in London, right? They'll rob you.
It's not as bad as people make out.
You always say this, but I think you're wrong.
No, it isn't as bad as people make out.
If you walked around in London with your watch on show, you would have an issue.
But I don't need to walk around in London with my watch on show to put myself in that position anyway.
But that doesn't mean that the issue's not bad then. It means that you just don't fully understand it or are not involved in it, which is absolutely fine.
Or you all believe something that's not quite as big as they say it is.
If you didn't believe it, then you would walk around London with it on show like we do out there.
What? That's like saying, no, I'm not going there. I'm a sensible guy and I know I'll be sensible. So there we go.
But yeah, no, I'm real transparent about that because we have a Money Mondays where I talk about a lot of the times I'll use myself as an example why I tell people like in the United States, right? I don't know how it is in the United Kingdom. So you guys please share with me. But like in the United States, one of the best ways to get around paying taxes is real estate. So yeah, investing in real estate. So I tell guys all the time, like it's one of the best ways to avoid taxes, get passive income, get a whole bunch of benefits. So I'm real big on people investing in real estate. Of course, I want people to be diversified, right? Have your index funds, have your stock market, have your stock market investments, cryptocurrency, real estate, etc. But me, most of my money is in real estate. But I definitely am in all the other asset classes. Hell, I got even silver, precious metals. So
I think that's very similar to you, Dad, isn't it?
Yeah, very similar. And also,
I watched one of your videos on index funds, actually.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, when I first started investing, so shout out to you.
Yeah, we have ISAs as well, which is really, really good for us because we can invest up to 20 grand a year and all gains on that are tax-free.
So
a bit like your Roth IRA.
Okay, okay.
But it's not limited as much. And we can draw on that whenever we want as well, although the idea is to keep it tucked away.
Yeah, of
course. You can buy stocks and shares in there as well, which is very nice.
What about real estate in the UK? Like, do you guys get the same like bunch
of? It's not as good. But there are different advantages.
You get capital gains on your real estate, but obviously
if you sell
real estate, your capital gains. Yeah.
Okay, but you can't like in the US we have something called a 1031 exchange where you're able to defer. You're able to take that money, the profits, and go buy another property. Can you do that in the UK or not?
You probably can within a business, but as a private individual, you'll pay your capital gains.
Lots of the advantages with owning properties personally are being taken away, and that's why everyone is doing it through.
Yeah, so commercial property is fantastic because you can do that within a pension fund or an ISA.
But the one good thing about the UK is the ISA. It's so superior to the Roth IRA. Very, very good.
Okay.
When is enough? Enough.
Enough money? Or enough womanizing?
You answer however you want.
Oh, when is okay. Enough? Yeah, that's an open-ended question. I don't think I'll ever be able to stop, whether it's the gym or, you know, making money, etc. Because I look at it like as a man, like your job is to like be out there and create. Actually, one of the funny things when I was working in law enforcement, they always said, when you retire, make sure you get a second job. And the reason why is because from having that high stress job, a lot of them die. They don't do something.
100%.
So I think as a man, like you're literally put on this earth to go out there and create something, right? And I've said this before, people get mad when I say this, but like as a man, your value is based on what you create, right? Because men have a natural proclivity to go out there and create something. This is why women, I always say, are inherently lazy. And when I say they're lazy, I don't mean all human beings are, but women tend to be even more so because women aren't incentivized to create excess resources. As a man, you are though. Women are designed to create children and families. That's what they care about the most when they end up happening. That's why even the strongest career women, once they have a kid, they're like, okay, that's what matters. Fuck a career. But as a man, you know, you're designed to go out there and create not just enough for yourself, but excess resources. So I think once you stop doing that, like you're just getting ready to get on the deathbed.
Yeah, you're spent as a guy, aren't you? Yeah. My granddad retired, died, I think it was 6 weeks later. It was certainly very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And he just basically sat in his chair and went,
I can't
I'm
believe
done.
That, though. It's like, oh, how did Jimmy die? It's like, oh, he just chilled out for once and then died. It's yeah. like, what? Like,
it's crazy. Yeah.
I've never even
it's
heard
a killer.
That.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that's why so many guys like experience like, you know, this might be another controversial take. They experience like depression, yeah. right? And feeling sad when they're like a bum.
They're not creative.
Yes. And I think a big part of it like is the reason why you're depressed and you're sad is because you're in a depressed state. So therefore your body responds like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Like, do something. We're going to make you sad right now so that you get up and do something so you don't feel as sad. This is a response to you being a bum. So I think once guys get, it's, you know, I don't meet many depressed people that are killing it in life, making money, going to the gym, taking care of themselves, eating healthy, sleeping 8 to 10 hours a night. I don't meet many depressed people that are doing all these things. The other thing too, I mean, if I'm going to be all the way honest about it, is like, people are fucking pussies, man. Like, you know, I'll see people that are, you know, starving, right? Kids getting bombed in Syria, people not having clean water, people not having electricity, and people over here complaining, crying on Twitter like, oh, life sucks, or oh my God, no Wi-Fi, or I'm sad, I'm depressed. It's like, bro, shut the fuck up. You're over here talking on 5G internet.
They've been born
right?
in the West with that yeah. big advantage.
Like, you're over here. There's, and see, here's another reason too why, you know, I have such little tolerance for people that are soft and cry about stupid shit. When I was an agent, I can't tell you how many times I saw dead children, dead families, maybe sometimes like the mother holding on to her kids. They died of heat exhaustion in the back of a truck trying to come to the United States for a better life. People are dying to be able to have the opportunities that people squander away every single day in the United States, the UK, etc.
It's criminal, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. So when people sit there and say, I'm sad, I'm depressed, shut the fuck up. You're probably not. You're just a loser. That's what it really comes down to. We give people way too many excuses for their inadequacies. I also think we need to bring bullying back, and I also think we need to go back to telling people they're stupid. We don't tell people they're stupid anymore. That's why people feel so comfortable saying stupid shit. People, oh yeah, I'm like a pseudo-intellect. They'll say this. I make it a point. When girls say something dumb on the pod, I'm like, that was stupid. Oh, that's not yeah, me. Nice.
Shut them off.
Yeah, but like, but we need to go back to negatively reinforcing poor decisions or poor statements or things that are dumb. Because when you let people, when you accept everyone, right? And you let everyone think that they're validated or whatever, they say dumb shit. It's crazy to me how we live in this clown world where we think everyone's opinion is valid. And we tell the girls will literally tell me, that's your opinion. No, it's a fact. You have an opinion and opinions can be incorrect. We need to go back to telling people they're stupid. We don't do it anymore. I think we need to go back to it.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. The world's gone too soft.
Clown world.
We need to do something about
clown
it.
Clown world, dude.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me.
What a guest.
I'm going to swear too much.
No, you're good, bro.
Okay. Very mild.
Yeah. You're good. If you guys enjoyed it, make sure to smash that thumbs up button for the YouTube algorithm. And we will see you next Wednesday with a brand new podcast. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from these guys. See you later.
Bye. Peace, guys.
That awesome. Was us. You smashed that, man.
No, man. I always try to give... good interview every time I come, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's better than good.